This is Do We Like Movies? It's a podcast where two guys review individual movies, sequels, and occasional television shows. In this show, we talk about our experiences with them, and we answer the question, do we like this movie? Welcome to Do We Like Movies? I'm your host, Angel.
And I'm your Mallard host, Javi. That's another word for a duck, in case no one knew.
Yeah. You might as well just get it out of the way and do all the duck stuff you want here.
Nah, but I'm extending this. It's going to be a slow burn. There's going to be so many what the ducks, and this is a quacastrophe.
Oh, no.
Quacktastrophe. And then you're gonna be like annoyed at the amount of dad jokes that are gonna be coming up this episode.
So this is kind of an interesting one. So we are this week we are discussing the 1986 Howard the Duck, which is based on a Marvel Comics character. This is the first Marvel movie ever.
Ever. Fuck you, Blake.
Directed by Willard Hayek, I think is his name.
I've been calling him a Hayek.
The funny thing about this guy is that he's actually a pretty good writer, and he's written stuff like American Graffiti, did some writing in Star Wars, and has pretty interesting credits to his name, but the most famous movie he had ever directed was this for George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Lucasfilm production as well.
Oh, yeah. You can totally tell because there's actually good animatronics. There's actually pretty good special effects, especially given that this movie came out in 86.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked myself, Javi, how is it that this movie possibly bombed at the box office? It had a $30 million budget, and I think it made back about 38.
Which is important to note that for like the 1980s, like that was like the 89 Batman budget.
And I was like, how? How could this movie have been so bad? And then I watched it, and then I saw how many explosions there are and how many cars they sink and explode. This, for all intents and purposes, is a Marvel blockbuster movie. They go as balls to the wall as they possibly can.
So if you want to quantify that, a $30 million bomb in 1986 is equal to an $84 million bomb in 2024 if we're adjusting for inflation. So this is nearly $100 million.
Holy crap.
And I think we are actually talking about one of the worst movies. I mean, considered one of the worst movies, and it's become quite a cult classic now. I'm going to say this. I don't know what it is. It is like something like watching something like The Room, right? But I enjoyed this a lot. I enjoyed watching this movie. I enjoyed how terrible it was.
It's funny because you hated The Room. You absolutely like dog walk in the room in our review, and it's like, even though we understood the cultural meaning and why people love it and the meme of it, this movie at least was fun, and I'll give it that. it tried its best to be fun. Was it fun to watch? Yeah. Did I get through it? Was there a scene where, you know, a guy shoots himself in the head and then another guy comes over and is like, Johnny, are you still alive? Even though clearly there should be brain matter everywhere. Oh, God. So For those that don't know, Howard the Duck is kind of making also. He's made a couple cameos in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. He would have been usually in the post-credit scene.
We now that we live in a Disney Plus world, Howard the Duck deserves to be brought back for a Disney Plus series. You could do, and especially now in a world where like Deadpool exists too, like I feel like you could do an adult like comedy, like kind of Howard the Duck.
Yeah, you can make Howard the Duck like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I think. Like there was a Howard the Duck series, Howard Max, where he fucking would get hammered all the time and get into like misadventures. And I think you could totally do a Howard the Duck like mini series, kind of like, I mean, you're already doing She-Hulk, which is shows that there is a place for comedy series using Marvel characters.
Yeah. All
I
right.
think,
Well, I
yeah.
guess let's do this. Let's paint the picture of what things were like at the time that this movie came out. So this is a comic book. At this point, the comic book movies that had existed were basically just the Superman films.
Yeah, pretty much.
1978 was the first Superman movie. I think by this point they were probably winding down to Superman 3, which is, boy, I tell you what, we one of these days, if we ever review the Superman franchise, the precipitous drop off from the first two to the final two is unlike anything you could possibly imagine. Like, the only thing that the Superman movies have in common is that Christopher Reeves is in all four of those first ones, but those second ones are like absolute dog water, in terms of quality. And this movie, again, it comes from Lucasfilm. This is coming off of the heels of. of Star Wars, right? And for people like Leia Thompson, this is literally her fault, like the year later, a follow-up to Back to the Future, which is a big one for her. She was still, it was also a Universal picture. This movie is this is what IMDb tells you, and I got a bit of a giggle like when I watched this. It says that this movie was so bad that following a test screening, Universal executives Sid Sheinberg and Frank Price were allegedly arguing about who was to blame for greenlighting this film, which then ended in a fistfight.
Let's go.
And
Oh.
for Frank Price, because apparently, shortly after this movie was released, Frank Price quit his job as the head of Universal Pictures, and Variety reported the story with the headline, "Duck Cooks Price's Goose."
Oh. Whoever wrote that needs a raise, and pretty much needs to run Variety. They gotta be the editor.
And I will think. We need to do one of these days. We will need to do Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse because it has brought the term canon event into like it's just our just everyday lexicon, right? But this is a canon event because according to from IMDb again, according to reports at the time of the movie's release, George Lucas had just built the $50 million Skywalker Ranch complex. And he was counting on the film to get him back in the black. When it bombed,
Oh
he was forced to start selling off assets to stay afloat. His friend Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple Computers, offered to help by buying Lucasfilm's newly launched CGI animation division for a price well above market value.
no.
Lucas, in dire straits and thankful for the assistance, agreed. That division eventually becomes Pixar Animation Studios.
Holy shit. So if you don't have Howard the Duck stink it up and ruin people's careers, you don't get Pixar?
That's what it sounds like. So, all the more reason why did why I'm shocked Disney does not have this on Disney Plus.
Yeah, you fucks making me having to rent it for $4.
Yeah, so that is the backdrop of this movie.
Dude. That is It's so sad that like so many people caught so much flack for this movie, and it's like you look back and it looks like everyone's having so much fun, especially Leah Thompson.
I don't think anybody is having fun in this. I think in hindsight, they're probably all having fun with it because it's something that they're all remembered for. And
Getting Leah Thompson's out there just playing guitar, making it with ducks.
the best thing this movie does is it casts Jeffrey Jones as the literal devil.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is one of those, it's one of those things that's like you don't you rarely hear about when there's bombs like this. Like you don't hear stories like this. You don't hear
No.
stories about producers like passing the blame off or getting into fist fights,
Well, you know what? No, I'm not. There is one that did that. You know what that thing reminded me of? It literally reminds me of all the way back in year one when you and I did Exorcist II, The Heretic, and I tell the story in that podcast that supposedly William Friedkin, the director of the original movie, told that they went to a screening of Exorcist II, The Heretic, and apparently someone stands up in the middle of the movie and yells at the people who made this piece of shit are in this theater, and he supposedly says that they chased studio executives out of the movie theater.
Those motherfuckers are right there. Everyone go get them. And William Friedkin himself.
Which you and I have watched that movie, and that movie, dude, this movie reminds me of that movie. It is
Oh, that's the kind of ride we're in, you
I
bitches.
think so, because I watch it and I'm like, God, this does not feel like any superhero movie I have ever seen. Like it is so weird. Howard the Duck,
Because
the
it's
movie starts with
not.
him living on Duck World, which is basically Earth. But it's an Earth where anthropomorphic ducks rule the planet. And, while he's sitting in his living room one evening, he's like, teleported out of his armchair. Well, in his armchair to Earth,
Don't
which
you
is.
dare gloss over the duck titties you see very
Dude.
clearly in this movie.
This movie is very inappropriate. Do not, despite the fact that it's PG, it is very much pre-Gremlins PG,
This is
which
80s PG. Like, there is a lot of implied death and
yeah,
nudity.
there's a lot of duck titties, there's a lot of Leia Thompson in her underwear, there's a lot
I'm not
of
complaining about that one, but that's because I'm a disgusting pervert. But.
literal people screwing in hot tubs, like I can't even get into it. My God. So first we get duck titties, just like
By
Avi
the
said.
way, how many duck titties is too many? Like, just
Can ducks
one.
have titties? Like, they're not even mammals, right?
No, they are. No, they're mallards. They're birds. They're, are they mammals? Wait, fuck. Is this where we show our ass and we show everyone that we don't know shit about ducks?
This doesn't matter. Ducks don't give milk.
Ducks are, look. We can fill another podcast about the biology, the disgusting biology of ducks and
All right,
other
so
nature's weird, like, sexual assault monster.
he is, brought into the world, into our world, and
You know my favorite thing about Duck World?
Yes.
Is it implies that everything that took place in our world as canon history also took place in what's it called, Duck World. So you know what that means? There's in 1940 or 1930s there was duck Nazis there. So that means that at some point Duck America or the United States of Duck went over and stormed on Duck Day, which I'm assuming is what D-Day now stands
Oh
for.
God.
Or not to mention the American Revolution, which is, I don't know, the Duck American Revolution. Like, it
Ugh,
always
enough.
implies
Enough.
It's just hilarious. It always implies that there's like this alternate history of like horrible things we've done to each other, except with ducks now.
Well, in this modern world now, we wouldn't call it a, we would just call it an alternate universe, right? It wouldn't be like, it wouldn't be a planet out in space. Like,
That's
I think now current Marvel would just call this another universe.
whatever, nerds. Marvel can't talk, okay? Bob Iger went out. Do you see that thing recently that Bob Iger was talking about how that he silently killed Marvel projects himself? Well,
No.
not just Marvel, I think other projects too.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
Dude, the film industry itself is in a very ugly place right now.
yeah, so get good, you pieces of garbage, or else we will. There are dozens of us that will make you pay with not our money. All right, so as you were saying, Howard the Duck gets transported to Cleveland. Cleveland, yeah,
I
Cleveland,
just
Ohio, of
love
all
how like in
places.
80s movies, like it was always big city is where like punk rock gangs, like it literally everything, it's like punk rock gangs. Nowhere else on earth do punk rock gangs like exist except like in Batman Return of the Dark Knight and like 80s or in like 80s movies.
These aren't just punk rock gangs, they're punk rock biker gangs named Satan Sluts.
Yes, the Satan's sluts.
Reminds me of this. What was the name of the biker gang of The Simpsons? The Hell Satans. Oh, God. Yeah, but we get but Howard ends up getting dropped off into Cleveland, Ohio, which apparently used to be a big city. Now it's just a factory of sadness as we've come to know it. But remember, kids, at one point, Cleveland, Ohio was a big thing.
Yeah, so he ends up fighting them off using Quack Fu, which is his super. Don't laugh at Quack Fu.
Oh, imagine. We redo Howard the Duck, the entire same movie, except it's Shaquille O'Neal, and just so we get the line of Shaq Fu instead.
But dude, you know what? This entire time that I was watching this movie, I just this guy Deadpool and Howard the Duck. Like I just, even though like I was reading about the comic book history and apparently he's got like a really big run with Man Thing, you know, like we could do that too. We could do a Man Thing, and there's so many things we can do here. But
His latest thing I saw as of like 6 years ago was he was going through the Marvel Zombies universe with Robot Man killing a bunch of zombies, like Marvel zombies. And I'm like,
yes.
that's fucking awesome. Do that.
Yeah. I
I'll
want
pay
this guy.
money to watch.
I need this guy to be more than just a gag at the end of Guardians. I need actual Howard the Duck, brand new rebooted content. This thing is a cult classic now, so it can warrant them doing it.
Yep. Anyway, quack food, no notes. Continue.
Yeah, so you like he basically trying to rescue this woman who was being attacked by them, and the woman is Beverly Switzer, played by Leia Thompson, who looks fantastic in this.
What a babe.
I gotta say this about Leia Thompson. I mostly only know her from like Back to the Future and Some Kind of Wonderful. I did not watch Caroline in the City in the 90s, so this is really what I know her for. And yeah, she gets spicy in this. Like, I'm very shocked that she chose to go in a movie like this where she is where she is ogled and is basically about to get naked and have sex with a duck.
Well, she was trying to make it with her son in the last big movie she was
It's
in.
true. It's strange relationships for her in the 80s.
She's like, a check is a check. I don't know why she sounds like she smokes in my head, but anyway, yeah, like you were saying, Howard ends up saving her, and without a place to go, Beverly ends up inviting her him back to her apartment. And he ends up spending the night. The following day, Beverly takes Howard to meet a friend named Phil Blumbert, who's a scientist that Beverly hopes can help Howard get back to Duck World.
Tim
So,
Robbins.
yeah, played by Tim Robbins, who I was not expecting to see big name Tim Robbins in this movie. Makes sense because he's always been the type of actor to kind of like ham it up, and he's kind of like he gives off a lot of Jim Carrey in the 90s vibes. You know how Jim Carrey like has been called like the guy with the living face or the living mask because he can animate and emote very well. I feel like Tim Robbins does the same thing, but to a lesser extent. And that's why he doesn't get recognized as much as like Jim Carrey being able to do it. So it is funny to see and fun to see him in this movie too. Beverly not being able to transport Howard in a very inconspicuous way ends up throwing him into a garbage bag that she carries around. That's like the gag for this part of the movie is that he has to be a like big ass bag of garbage. And she introduces him to Phil. Phil immediately freaks out and runs into like the paleontology department and was about to, you know, blow up Howard's spot until he realizes how stupid it would sound to say there's an anthropomorphic duck. And then he's just like, I've discovered nothing. And ends up going back to meet up with Beverly and Howard, and, you know, running experiments and kind of test, you know, running tests on Howard. However, they find out that Phil is only a lab assistant and doesn't actually have any authority or know how to get Howard home. So Howard's, you know, in a sunken kind of mood, starts resign or he resigns himself to simply living on Earth and wearing a or living a regular life.
Yeah, I the part of the movie that I'm not crazy about is this like section where this movie's 2.5 hours long, bro.
It's a long fucking
Like the
movie
fact,
for.
why do we have to go through this like period of time in this movie where he and Beverly like split up and he's like he's going to get a human job and his human job is literally cleaning up whatever is left of people who are screwing in like hot tubs and mud baths. It is, what even is this job? He has to go to a job placement program to get it where nobody questions him being a duck. The lady who works there just assumes he's a guy in a costume. I don't know
It's like,
why.
why did they even give a shit about hiding him in the first place? I know, and like, I think on total, what, maybe four people react to him being a duck in the entire movie?
Yes.
Two of which being the hell sluts he beats up in the beginning of the film. So it's really, yeah, it's like this movie chooses to care when to remind you, oh yeah, he's a fucking talking duck. But yeah, after kind of living a very, I guess, depressing existence of just simply cleaning up after, you know, horny people,
Yes.
he decides he wants to make up with Beverly. When he ends up going to one of her band shows later that night, as she plays in a band called Cherry Bomb. When he goes to visit, he listens or he confronts their manager, who's like abusive and talking a lot of shit. And he ends up, ha you know, he comes up with this really gross plan of trying to like mess around with Beverly. So this leads to another fight for Howard, where he ends up beating the manager. Because again, in 80s rules, if you beat up the dude, you get their girl. That's the rule.
Yep. It's 80s law.
So after that, Howard ends up joining back up with Beverly backstage. They go back to the apartment, and oh, does it start getting steamy
Oh
between
my
these
goodness.
two?
I could not believe what I was watching when this happened.
I'm like, am I gonna watch a grown woman fuck a duck?
That's what I thought.
It's like George Lucas, you have some explaining to do. You bearded son of a bitch.
Oh, you just said exactly what in my head.
I was like, this is not gonna happen. And my favorite part Remember that TikTok you sent me a couple like days ago where the girl is like in the front seat with her dude and she ends up putting her hand on his thigh and he farts?
He panics.
And he's like, I got scared, I panicked. It's funny because kind of something like that happens here where like Beverly gets super into it. It's like, no, yeah,
Oh, I
let's.
swear I thought they were gonna do the thing where he lays an egg and they make that a joke.
This, and then he's going to be like, I swear this never happens before. That,
But of course, what's it called? Her friend literally shows up. What's his face? Phil,
Yeah, Phil ends up showing up.
Philzy.
As they call him Philzy, I hate that nickname.
Phil.
Nicknames are supposed to be shorter than the names themselves. What's the point of calling him Philzy if you're already calling him Phil?
Philzy and Dr. Jennings, aka real life supervillain. Actual scumbag, ridiculous pervert, pedophile, Jeffrey
Oh God,
Jones,
this movie has not aged
end up
well.
walking in on them, while their whatever's about to happen is about to happen. I love how Leah Thompson is like almost no problem with the fact that they literally walked in on her in her underwear.
Like her, she's freaking out about the wrong thing, which is that like they're there for Howard and not the fact that they just barge into her house like with the door
Yeah,
unlocked.
well, she was literally about to engage in bestiality.
No. The proper term is interspecies erotica,
Okay.
and technically he's from another planet.
Okay, alien.
Alien, yeah.
Yeah.
What are I mean? Would you?
Think very carefully. I'm just gonna say.
What famous last words before I take my career? Hypothetically. What I mean, what is the moral quandary around hooking up with someone not of this planet?
What is your threshold for screwing aliens?
Like, is it Star Trek where they're just painted green but still human?
That's true. That's true. Star Trek doesn't have a problem with doing that. I think the rules are if it's humanoid, then it's acceptable.
If it's humanoid, I'm down to wow. Oh, God. But I'm not gonna get bogged down by the ethics of intergalactic boning.
Please don't.
Anyway, yeah, so like you were saying, Philzy and the rest and the scientists come in and we find out that the scientists were working on a laser spectroscope, which is an invention, I guess, to open gateways to other planets. It's funny because the closest thing I can have to describing this is actually from DC, which, I mean, you're just gonna have to fucking call a nerd alert because in DC they just have these lasers called Zeta beams that they shoot at each other to like send each other to different planets.
Oh my God.
But it's kind of similar to the spectroscope here. They open a gate to another planet, and that's actually how Howard got brought over from Duck World. So the plan is to help him get sent back home. And now that he has actually this chance, they can reverse the process. So after going back to the lab, they try to turn on the laser spectroscope, which leads to a malfunction. And what ends up happening is they end up creating another gate to another planet, which ends up bringing something called the Dark Overlord from the darkest reaches of space over to Earth. It possesses Dr. Jennings, which is fitting that he plays the villain pretty much for two thirds of the movie with how much of an evil human being he is. And now, under the possession of the Dark Overlord, Jennings works to try to create another gateway to bring more Dark Overlords, I guess. I guess the race is called Dark Overlords. I'm not sure. But the point
Yes.
is he's trying to bring a bunch of aliens over to take over Earth. We get to see like some of the powers that the Dark Overlord has. And meanwhile, you see Walter, or yeah, you see Jennings start kind of becoming corrupted and going through weird changes, physical changes, as he starts also developing like psychic powers. At one point destroying an entire diner. And he ends up escaping with Beverly in the confusion so that he can use her to put another Dark Overlord inside of. Oh, that was awkwardly phrased. Meanwhile, Howard finds Filzy and they find a. What are those things called? Like you see them, I don't know, like those weird carts, like the paraglider carts.
Oh, don't ask me. I don't know.
I know you see them a lot like in vacation spots when you go to like Mexico or something like that. But it's pretty much like a go-kart with a big paraglider wing on it, and they get it going. And as the police are investigating as they're investigating the explosion from the diner. They end up finding Howard and Filzy trying to get the glider going, which then leads to what I can only describe as a Blues Brothers style police chase throughout all of Cleveland, where it feels like every call, every police officer is chasing after this glider. It has to crash into everything that they could possibly see. And while I'm watching this scene specifically, I'm like, there it is. That's why this movie bombed. Because they had so many stunts and like stunt driving they had to do where they just straight up destroyed cars.
Yeah, this again, this was a massive budget.
And yeah, like they end up following Filzy and they end up following Filzy and Howard through all of Cleveland. He ends up taking a cop off a ramp who lands in like the lake. He ends up Howard ends up attacking a bunch of duck hunters down on the lake as well, quoting Japanese fighter pilots. And then this raises the question, how does Howard know so much about like American like pop culture? Did he watch? Is it because there's an equivalent on Duck World?
There
Or
is an equivalent because there is literally a Indiana Jones equivalent on Duck World as well. So,
that's right, there is. I forgot about that.
obviously, dude, come on, duh.
So he just happened to understand that his references were fitting in that one situation.
I wonder if like duck racism exists now.
Oh, you know it does.
Oh man, we get duck anti-Semitism and duck racism.
Did you notice
Probably
there were
get
only
like duck
white ducks?
homophobia too.
Dude, there's only duck white ducks in Duck World.
That's true.
I also thought it was funny that the bar in Duck World is called Club Mallard, and I'm like, ah, I've been there on Earth.
That is funny. Yeah, there is like a place that near us called that.
And that used to be one of our old haunts back in the day.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, once Howard and Phil are able to get away from the cops, they manage to get to a nuclear test site. I guess nuclear test site or another lab. They don't really say.
No, and by the end of the movie, I feel like all s things cease to make sense.
Fuck you, doesn't matter.
Eat
Stop
a
asking
dick
questions.
if you want something that makes sense.
The Dark Overlord ends up taking Beverly's body over to the dimension machine. And Howard and Phil arrive just in time for Howard to use this kind of this cart with a laser beam on it to fight with the Dark Overlord, which leads to an explosion. The explosion ends up pushing the Dark Overlord out of Jennings' body, but it then gains physical, like a physical form. And he starts the countdown to opening a portal to his homeworld. He ends up attacking Howard, who, with the help of his friends, is able to get free. Using the same laser from before, Howard is able to kill the Dark Overlord. With about a minute left, he has to make the decision to either destroy the portal gun or risk letting the creatures through. However, if he does so, he's going to be stranded on Earth. And kind of resigning himself to staying on Earth, he ends up destroying the portal machine. I'm assuming killing all the Dark Overlords that were on their way over.
Or at least closing whatever door that they would have been able to get through.
I was like, I'm pretty sure he just committed a massacre, like on accident.
Good.
I'm pretty sure it's a declaration of space war. Like, he might not be the good guy here.
Possibly not.
But anyway, after saving Earth, and resigning himself to stay on our planet, Howard becomes Beverly's manager and ends up booking up for a concert at the end of the movie because for some reason 80s movies ended with a lot of concerts. And the movie ended with Howard performs with Cherry Bomb, and the movie ends with him and Beverly sharing a kiss. And roll credits. That is Howard the Duck. Everything I just told you took place over the ki oh, we just told you took place over the course of 2 hours.
That is insane, is it not? Like, I feel like we have talked about movies that are like a third of the short, like the length of this, or half the length of this, and yet the conversation on this was not very long. Like, this movie,
No.
it, by its premise, is pretty simple. Again, I really do think that some of the other elements, like spending all that time, like when Howard and Beverly split, just. It just dragged the movie on, and I do think that the fucking weird shit of like them being in the diner with Jennings as like as he's becoming the Dark Overlord like is useless, absolutely useless stuff, and yeah, I don't understand,
You can
but.
definitely chop out even that chase in Cleveland goes on for an awkward amount of time. Like,
But
there's a lot of this movie you can trim down and make it easy digestible 90 minutes. Because then it
Javi,
too
do you like Howard the Duck?
I like the idea of Howard.
Do too.
But this movie, I can't, dude. Like, this movie, who is this movie for? Is my first question. Is
Who
this
does
movie for
number two
kids?
work for?
This movie for kids? Because this movie's too horny for kids. But then it's not, there's
But
not
it's not
an.
horny enough for adults.
Yeah, because Leah Thompson would have totally made it with Howard if that's what the case was. But there's not enough there for adults. This movie's too weird for kids. It's like it doesn't know who it's for, and there's nothing here to justify a 2 hour runtime.
I'm
You can
very unsurprised that this movie bombed in the way that it did.
trim this down to an easily digestible 90 minutes, and then I'll have a better idea like who it's for. But the whole thing is like, if you they were trying to make a mature, funny movie, I guess, and it's just like it didn't really fall, especially it just didn't it didn't go the way you want it to. The one thing I did like is I actually do like the costume design as freakishly Nightmarish as Howard the Duck.
The actor Ed Gale, he was actually in Chucky, like the original Child's Play movie, where he does their scenes of Chucky, where he's shown like walking or running away, like he does the shots in
Oh, no
that
shit.
movie, in a suit. And unfortunately, since we're gonna talk about it with Jeffrey Jones, we should also mention this with Ed Gale. That apparently in April of 2023, Gale's accused, according to his Wikipedia, he was accused by the online predator hunting group, Creepcatchers Unit, of attempting to solicit sex from multiple minors,
Oh,
including one as young of 14 years old. It does say that
no.
he had his smartphone seized by LAPD. But at the time was neither charged nor taken into custody, and that, as far as everyone knows, he's like under investigation, but he's never been charged with anything. But yeah.
So this movie was only made with like the worst people in mind.
Clearly,
And Leah Thompson.
except, Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins. Let's keep them away from these other sickos, please.
That sucks because I was about to say I actually did like Howard's performance. What I did like was I like the costume design, I like the animatronic work. I thought the evil overlord looked fucking great.
I
And
think that's where a lot of the movie's budget went, was towards doing the dark overload, because that really did, and the motion too. Like, I mean, it didn't have the jittery, like Ed 209, like, stop motion kind of style. It felt a little bit more fluid. And
Oh, it
I,
looked much more fluid than at 209.
yeah. And I think it's probably that's the Lucas effect, right? Because I think the studio that, there's the ILM, right? The ILM studio, which is associated with him, and I know that they, certain guys there, like, kind of come up with this really fluid stop motion as well that they considered using for Jurassic Park at one point.
Well, yeah, at the very least, if you're gonna fucking have a bloated budget for a shitty bomb of a movie, at the very least, it looks pretty. I'll give him that. Because everything from Duck World all the way to the Dark Overlord looks
It's
fantastic.
impressive, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the script is there. There's a semblance of a story. I think the only person that looks like they're having a good time is maybe Tim Robbins, maybe Leah Thompson. But honestly, like, there's just not enough in this movie to justify its existence. If we want to talk about now and making a Howard the Duck for 2024, I think that would be a great idea. Give the IP another shot, like we were saying. You can do a monster of the week type, or a story of the week type of thing where he been jumps around in different universes and gets into all kinds of hijinks, right? You can totally make this like more of an adult centric series where I don't mean that he has to bone human women, but I mean yeah, you can definitely make him have him like joke around like Deadpool, or even have more cool set pieces. But as far as this one, what we got from 86, nah, I'm good. I'm cool with leaving this one in the fire. It belongs.
I actually enjoyed this movie, and I will come back to this movie before I ever go back to something that we've watched on this show, like Cats or maybe even The Room. Oh, maybe. I think so. I think it's
Damn.
better. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I wish it was shorter, for sure. And I'm not gonna lie and say that I thought it was great and oh, I understand why it's a cult classic. No, but I probably will see it at some point in the future.
No, well, I'm glad that's one thing we don't do. We never try to pretend we understand why things are cult classics.
No.
So sometimes things just resonate with people, and we're firm believers, and you like what you like.
And I didn't used to be like that. Let me be very clear about that. I was a much more of a film snob. So if I was doing this podcast like 10 years ago, I think I'd be a lot more of an asshole about it. But I think I think having a child and the fact that so much of what I watch, like, in theaters and stuff like that, is like, family fare and kids fare. Like, I feel like I can enjoy movies for what they are instead of trying to force everything to be what I think it's supposed to be. And you know what? That is a lesson for for toxic fandom out there. Don't forget, these are just movies, guys. Don't be assholes, please.
Yeah, have fun with them. Like, you know what fun feels like, right? We all remember that concept. Oh
Yeah,
man,
so
dude.
seriously, this is it, man. It's one of the shorter episodes we've ever done, but we've covered a lot of what was in this movie. We'd like to thank you guys for joining us for this episode of the show. Please continue to interact with us on social media. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Rate the show on Apple Podcasts. Rate the show on Spotify if you can. Thank you for offering all of these movie reviews for us to do. Next week we are going to be talking. We're gonna go to Disney, and I can't remember the last time we did a Disney movie, but it's funny that we did like Cats last week, and we talked about like musicals and all that kind of stuff, and how I, made it pretty clear that I wasn't really a fan of that kind of musical. Next week's movie, we are gonna go to something that I think it's got some of the best Disney music in it.
Oh, you sons of bitches, you tricked me into watching another musical.
And I think the villain in this is in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which we're gonna do next week. It's gonna make you laugh because I can't imagine that you've seen this movie in a very long time, right?
No, but based on what you told me, he might be top 10 horny Hall of Fame.
All right, so we'll just leave it at that. And I hope you guys will join us when we talk about that movie next week. So thanks, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Y'all.